time to cast off on a new adventure. This is Real Adventures with Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Hadgood.
Good morning and welcome to Real Adventures from wherever you are listening right around the country. Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Hadgood joining you this morning to talk all things fishing, boating and the great outdoors. And thankfully, you are joining us this morning, Redmond. It's been a difficult week for you. Fill us in with where you're at. You've had a few heart issues.
Yeah, it was a good morning. It was a pretty ordinary week. It was throughout the whole week and last into end of week, I sort of had a bit of drama with the ticker. I'd been short of breath for quite some time and whatnot was spoken about and probably let it go a little bit too long way, because you don't realise how sick you are until it's sometimes nearly too late. And unfortunately, I was sitting in an ICU bed half preparing my will for the kids the other week. So it wasn't a nice feeling being told that you're too sick to get another heart and that we don't know what to do. And I got very, very lucky. Something's on my side. I don't know what I've done. So I've done something. I've hit a black cat somewhere and I've done something good somewhere else. So I ended up pulling through somehow. I've got a lot of work to do. Like I'm not better. My heart's still not working. I'm in cardiac failure, as I said, and we'll see what happens. I'm going to live, which is a good thing. I can still fish, which is a good thing. I've just got a big process of just everything. The hardest being, Pat, seriously, is this is going to sound, it sounds dumb, because your whole life you're actually taught to drink water and drink fluids, keep hydrated. And I'm actually the opposite. I'm only allowed to have 1.5 litres of fluid a day. And you might go, that's not too bad. But when you have a coffee in the morning, that's your 200 mil. Then you put your 100 mil of milk with your porridge. Everything adds up. If I have a soup, a piece of fruit after one piece of fruit, a piece of fruit, 50 mil, like it all adds up. It's extremely hard. And this is due to the fluid that's holding my chambers around my heart and lungs. And I'm now currently weighing a very heavy 73 kilo. So I've dropped between 10 to 12 kilo in the past week. So
nowhere near a barrel tuna.
No, not quite, but it's...
I was going to add in that you're taking into account when you're given the... You're only allowed to consume 1.5 litres a day. You're actually down to a litre immediately because you've got your 500 of Jammo that you'll polish off on between 5 and 8 in the afternoon.
I discussed that with the doctors. I was like, maybe a litre of Jammo, 500 ml of Coke to mix it. The drama I had was the ice, Pat. The ice adds up too, so that couldn't. What happened with that ice? Now I'm. We always have a joke around. I do love having a beer, as pretty much most of Australia does. But I'm not a stupidly heavy drinker in the slightest. But that's gone out of my diet completely. I'm not allowed to. The food intake that I've got is. I recommend. This is very contradicting what I'm going to say here, because obviously I'm going through it the past few weeks, but. If you can in your life clean yourself out for a week, and I don't care what you say, but I know how good you athletes eat and there's other people eat well, but I'm on a very strict health diet. I've taken salt out completely. The fluid, forget the fluid. Don't do that. That's stupid. But like just eating like your strawberries and bananas, like a nice yogurt in the morning, having a good lunch, how good you actually physically feel inside. Even though I'm half dead, I still feel bloody good. Like, you know, and I advise anyone to even just have a crack for a month, do a clean out, because I've never had to do it before. And it's a bit contradicting because I'm saying it because I'm sick, but it honestly, bloody hell, you feel good.
And the reason we're talking about this is because you want to promote, because primarily our audience is male listeners who are useless when it comes to their health checkups, and you're in a slightly different situation, but it's just as relevant.
Yep.
Get annual checkups.
Yeah, just
see your GP.
If something just doesn't feel right, like I was literally told I was going to die. Like literally, that's not a word of a lie. It sounds like I'm joking, but I'm not. I was screwed. In all honesty, I was as screwed as the English team on day one. So it was literally like I was just stuffed. But I just wanted, if it's sun, if it's a spot on your skin, if it's a bloody lump in your nuts, whatever it is, just to get it checked. Like I was literally, if I had have gone a month earlier, I might not have been in this situation right now where I'm screwed, like literally half screwed. Like honestly, where in hindsight, if I had have gone, I could be literally, they might've given me a couple of drugs and I would have been good as gold. So mainly males, like you said. My audience is majority males, and we are stubborn pricks at times, including myself. I am a little bit different, ongoing health issues, blah, blah, blah. I get that.
But you're still stubborn.
I'm a stubborn prick. I've actually been listening to the doctors, which is a first. But just if you got something, just a health check. We're coming into summer. We've got the best time of the year to come. We've got Christmas. Everything's coming ahead. You don't want to be crook. You don't want to be feeling crappy, and you don't want to, I guess, in my case, die. So just literally have a crack at it. Just go to the doctors and get yourself sorted.
Speaking of Christmas, is there a better time of the year to go to your post office box and all of a sudden you're just inundated with catalogues with things trying to tempt you?
I don't think I have a post office box. Do I even have a letterbox?
I was looking through. Well, I actually get them at the footy club when I go in because mail doesn't get this far down the surf coast. But I was looking through the catalogues. I was looking through Anacondas, and they've got a portable projector that's $149. Now, I don't know when I'd use this thing.
Said this to me during the week. I was actually quite impressed.
Portable LED projector with a soft screen, $149 if you're a club member. And we're not getting – there's no brand affiliation here. I'm just saying I saw it and it looked pretty good. Don't know when I'd use it, but
– I know when you'll use it. You go camping, you just got – and nighttime comes in, chuck it up.
Obviously, but
– Nemo.
Just – The opportunities to go out and do that. Melbourne Boat Show, this is a big one because it's something that you and I both love, and we love taking our Real Adventures show on the road, and there's been a bit of a setback.
I think this is the third year, if I'm correct, that it's actually going to be cancelled, third year in a row. So it's a...
And this is for different reasons as much as anything. So we've obviously had the effects of COVID. But the stock supply and the shortages, this is one of the major reasons behind the Melbourne International Boat Show for 2022 not being able to go ahead, because there's simply not enough there.
And I know for a fact that I reckon there's more to the story here. There's something else going on somewhere, because I'm going to get in trouble probably saying it, but I've spoke to a few dealerships that have actually put their deposits down, and I think there were 60 deposited spaces that had deposits put on that are secure that have been told basically done. So, and they were ready to go. Like, they were getting geared up to go to the boat show, and they're really peed off that it's not going ahead. So there's going to be
there's something a bit more than just the stock supply challenges is what they labeled it.
Definitely a massive role in it. Definitely, because there's a lot of dealers that wouldn't be going because of the fact they can't get stock. 100%. But I reckon something's going on. I don't know if it's a money thing or whatever it is, but it's obviously affected by COVID, and it's really crap that it has come down to this. They are going to look at doing something in October, whether it's an outdoor event, whatever. This is next year, obviously.
Yeah, so they labelled it a major recreational boating and lifestyle-based event. Now, there's no further details what that could be. October generally has been the sort of traditional time slot for the Lake Eildon Boating and Fishing Show, which is a three-day event. And primarily showcasing houseboats, fishing boats, but water sports. So potentially merging those two together, maybe if we're reading between the lines, is what they'll look at.
Well, hopefully, I actually love the boat show. It's we go there as a team of Salt Guide, and you and I take this on the road, and we go down there, and we have a great time. It's sort of like we get to meet all our members, we get to see all the new products coming out, and you're like a little kid in a show bag.
There's nothing better than seeing new boats.
You love it. You and I spend time walking around looking at every boat possible. You talking rubbish to everyone. I shake my head, but it's a great. I love the boat show. I've been to the Sydney. That was fantastic. I'd love to go to a different one, but I'm really disappointed that it's not going ahead. So
now we're coming into school holidays. We're going to talk about different sort of products available. Looking forward to Red's review today. But as we head into Christmas, obviously. It's a great time giving all those sorts of things, purchasing, updating your boat, updating your little sort of gadgets that you've got on your boat. But approaching school holidays, Redmond, now is the time to make sure that your trailer's in good nick, that your winch is set, your lights are right on your trailer. The same thing when it comes to your boat, because the last thing you want is your trip ruined by not being able to get on the road with your boat.
Yeah, you're spot on. And the boating manufacturers and, service dealerships like Melbourne Marine Centre and whatnot, they're going to be thoroughly booked out now. Like, you're nearly on par of missing the boat, part of the pun. So you wanted to probably do this a few weeks ago, but to cover your backside and get you through the summer, so say school holidays, I'm not sure of the exact date, but it's only obviously a couple of weeks away, say, and everyone's going to rush to the coast, they're going to rush to Ilden, they're going to rush to places, and they're going to get in, they're going to plug their trailer lights on, and they're not going to work. So, like, not necessarily not going to work, they could not work. And you might have a winch, for example, your Lone Star winch might be seized, or things might be seized in the boat that just, not seized, there might be a battery terminal that's come off. It might be something very simple as that. So
your batteries are flat because you haven't used it for 4 months.
You're spot on, exactly right. Your nav lights aren't working, or your anchor light's not working, and you can't go out of a night because you wanted to go out and chase a gummy into the dark. So you got the kids are hanging to busting your balls to get out there and literally go for a jump on the back of the boat on the wakeboard or on the donut. Whatever it is, you're going to ruin your holiday if you don't get ready now. I know where, like I said, it's nearly, you might be able to squeeze in somewhere, but you want to get your boat done. And it starts with your trailer, your winches, lights, and I reckon the number one thing, Pat, number one thing that people really screw up with is safety gear. You just do. You're just naturally lazy with it. It's one of those things you just have to have on the boat by law. You have to have it on the boat by law. Yes, they will say.
And you should.
Yeah, but you forget about it. You naturally throw it in the boat and you forget about it. Like, I could ask you now, have you ever checked you got your flares recently. Have you ever checked the dates when your flare goes out?
No, well, I have, and they were about 3 years out of date the last time
that I did. Yes, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I know mine are 2022 January, so mine are only a month away. But what about when the rush comes in and Melbourne Marine Centre get absolutely smashed with people trying to buy flares, which happens in every dealership in this state, and you get up into, for example, you might get over to Dramana, Safety Beach, and you go to put your boat in and your flares are out, and you can't get a set of flares for 2 weeks because everywhere's been flogged out. So now's the time to literally spend that week just going over your flares, your extinguisher, and as a copper said to us once, with your fire extinguisher, if it's on the line, you're out. You're not playing tennis. If it needs to be in the green bracket, so it can't be on the line. It's not tennis. Make sure you get your fire extinguisher in that little green section so it is working up to the standard that coppers want you to have.
Can we just confirm that if it is on the line in tennis, it is in?
Yeah, that's in, and with it, that's what I mean. Tennis is in.
Oh, just making sure. Now,
extinguisher is out.
Now, I know you've got eyes and ears everywhere, and our man, Gwayne Blake, has been hammering the fishing all this week for Soul Guide's report. But your week in fishing, or your partner's week in fishing, go through what's been the target species.
We've had a shocking weather this week, Pat. We had a couple of nice days early while I was laying back in a really nice air-conditioned hospital. It was not much fun, but I looked outside and it looked sunny, so that was all right. But the snapper pack, we could see a little bit of stability in it. So remember how you and I spoke and Gwayne spoke, and it was purely about what's going to happen with this weather. Like, we've had such cold weather, and then all of a sudden we've had a real hot days, and now it's gone cold again. So we could see stability. So we could see that these snapper will keep breeding if that water temperature is in that prime temp for them. So they could stay really good. They're still going good. They could hold for another few weeks of really, really good bite. You've also got the whiting in Western Port going really well. You've also got the Western Port, the Portfolio Bay whiting going well. Now, there was a couple of kingfish caught off Barwon Heads during the week, Pat, and a mako shark. So good signs. I think the kingfish was drunk or lost. So
I was about to say, before everyone gets excited with the fact that there's kingfish around, they're one of the most challenging species to target because you'll spend a lot of days in the water without catching much. We're holding off on calling it a great time to fish for them at the moment, aren't we?
That's a very good call because, I think the Jamieson bottle got involved there. So we're going to these charter guys that are out there chasing the snapper, the Chris Vasileskis from Gone Fishing, the Crossy from Cross Country, them boys drifting those foul grounds for these beautiful snapper they're catching. They're going to start to see captures of these kingfish coming in just here and there, dribs and drabs of them, and they will get better and better as the season kicks in, as the water kicks into temperature. One thing that we sort of probably half need to get ready for, Pat, it's what you love doing, is chasing those school bluefin tuna. So it's well and truly getting time to get ready for those too as we approach this warm weather. You got teaser bars, you've got to get your little lures right. I know you spend
bungee casts.
Yeah, spend time changing your trebles to your 1-0 or 2-0 hooks. single hooks, get rid of the trebles on the bungees, start tying your FGs, get a few FGs ready. It's the matter of any day. And what I mean by any day is we could go out there and next week and we could find a patch of them. There might not be 10 schools of them, but there might be a really big patch of tuna that you might come across. So it's worth throwing the rods in for those two, Pat.
Would you be going out at the moment and just having two rods set that you can just leave there, but that are at least ready to be able to cast should they should a school pop up, particularly if you're going to be fishing offshore?
100%. There'll be two bungees on my rod boat every time I go offshore now.
Because we fished with Paul Worsling, his son Jet, start of last week, nearly 2 weeks ago now, and there were some big fish out there, and we weren't exactly quite sure what they were. We caught some beautiful squid, but we'll start to see different species sort of rolling around.
Oh, it's just the most exciting time of the year, I think, Pat. This is the time of the year where things start. Remember, like a few weeks ago, everyone was going, when's snapper season? And now it's sort of like you catch a snapper, no one cares. We're at that stage now coming into that next patch of our fishing season where everything, see, John got a mako the other day, it was 60 kilo, or that kingfish was off Bowen Heads. And we're starting to hit that patch now where you can get excited again for different species that are going to turn up in our waterways, and not just our waterways. This is right around the country. We're going to see Sydney start to change. We're going to see the Marlin roll up. We're going to see South Oz really kick into gear with basically everything. So I'm really looking forward to what's going to come from this Christmas to New Year period.
Got a massive show of Real Adventures heading your way this morning. After the break, we'll catch up on what's biting right around the country, and we'll answer your questions from the social club. This is Real Adventures.
You're listening to Real Adventures with Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Hadgood.
Welcome back to Real Adventures. We're going to have a look at what's biting around the country. We're just focusing on New South Wales this morning, Redmond, because there's been a bit happening. Soft plastics from Bendina Beach landing some really nice-sized flathead land bass. We've seen similar captures through East Gippsland of late. There's been some really nice-sized flathead being caught. But these are nice-sized fish, aren't they?
Yeah, you're getting them up to that sort of 80 centimetres at times, Pat, like really big ones. Up to you if you want to release or keep, but make sure you do stick to the rules and regulations in New South. They're different to all parts of the country. But beautiful eating fish. I don't – big flatty fillet on the pan, Pat, with a bit of lemon on it. I reckon it's got to be nearly the number one fish to eat. So make sure you get down to the beach. Something that we did speak about here in Victoria a bit earlier is those kingfish. Now, we obviously haven't got those currents coming down the east coast yet, Pat, but in Coogee, we're starting to see, like even towards that Burmese sort of area, we're starting to see the rat kings push in, the numbers.
Yeah.
Harder to get the illegals amongst them, but they are fishing really well. But in the actual harbour itself, literally under the bridge, this week had a very consistent bite of legal kings. But the difference was you needed live baits to get through. And I believe that if off Coogee, if you had to use that method out further, out or offshore, I should say, and right along the coast of New South Wales, you can find a headland or somewhere where there's a bit of current, using your live baits such as your slimy mackerel, your squid, the likes, you're gonna get bigger fish. You're just going to get bigger fish. That's what they love to eat. So if you are looking to try and land that big kingfish that you want to catch, don't just run your plastics or don't run your knife jigs all the time or your micros. Yes, they catch great fish, but on an average, to get through those small ones, those libies will make that massive difference, Pat.
We saw a pretty significant shark attack in your neck of the woods earlier in the week, Redmond. There was a bronze whaler attacked two people late in the afternoon. We haven't seen huge numbers of sort of shark reports off that New South Wales coast yet, because we obviously love the captures of makos. They're one of the most popular species, but we haven't seen too many reports so far. What are you hearing?
It was a pretty good winter that it settled for the sharks, because you get a lot of makos during that really depth of in winter period off the coast, east coast of New South Wales along the continental shelf there. Then it went quiet. Like, you are right, it hasn't been the greatest, but give it once the marlin come. The bait comes, you get your upwelling currents, you start to get all your nutrients right in the water. That's when we're going to start to see those tiger sharks. We're going to see more whites. We're going to see schools of bronzies on those bait balls with the marlin. That's when we're going to start to see the activity of sharks on the coast. So up New South Wales. And just there's a lot of sharks around. There's sharks. Just be mindful with them, especially when you're fighting a fish or trying to land a fish. They are a powerful creature, as you and I know. We've caught some big sharks together, and just they're a good sports fish. Beautiful eating, and Bronzy, one of my favorite sharks to eat, Bronzy, Mako. And we're going to start to see some good threshers being caught too here in Victoria, to take you back, which is, I think they're the number one shark, a thresher shark. So, yeah, it's not far away to see it happening. And something that they do follow too, sharks, is the snapper too, and Port Hacking during the week, those Bronzies and whatnot, they will push into Port Hacking and stuff and chase the snapper. And there was really good snapper reports out of Port Hacking during the week and Botany Bay area. Nothing big, but up to that sort of 60 centimetres, which is getting towards a few kilos. So beautiful snapper fishing in and around Sydney too, Pat, at the moment, if you do want to have a bit of fun. And plastics are working really good on those.
Beautiful work, Redmond. It's time for the Social Club. We take your questions from social media. Toby's first one, first off the ranks this morning, Redmond. G'day, gents. Thanks for the show every week. Love the show. On social media through this snapper season, I'm seeing so many videos and posts of fish being brain spiked. Can you take us through why people do it and should I do it? Cheers, Toby.
Yeah, that's a really good one, Toby. It's gone stupid this season. You're spot on. It's literally, which is a great thing. You're a tuna champions, Pat, and you can probably take us through a little bit of the tuna process if you want, just quickly, and I'll get into the snapper. Just when you're looking after a tuna, it's you're spiking it through the brain, aren't you, like, to get the quality of the meat.
Yeah, it's all about the stress that the fish is under and dispatching it, you know, both humanely. But the less stress the fish is under, the greater the quality of flesh, the better it's going to taste. It's pretty simple. Don't just bring it on deck and then just leave it on the floor. It'll affect its taste. So, all fish are the same fundamentally on let's respect them, look after them, dispatch of them properly, and they'll taste better. Pretty simple. Yeah.
And where you're going to spike a snapper is a little bit different to your tuna. Your tuna is sort of, I guess it's in the middle of the head. You can actually see a nice soft spot there if you look at it with the right light, whereas snapper's sort of, you're attacking it behind its eye. So you're coming in behind its eye towards its, I guess, top shoulder in a way, only a few centimetres away. And that's where you're going to attach it with the spike to brain spike it. And like you said, very humanely to do so. And you do get better quality out of the fish. But I think there's no point in doing that, Pat, if you're not going to treat it afterwards. This is the fat point I want to make, was especially with your tuna that you just spoke about, and snapper you probably get away with a little bit more, but you need to get it on ice. You need to cool it down. You just can't have it sit, spike it and leave it on your deck. Now, I'm pretty disgusted at the moment with some of the charter boat operations in Port Phillip Bay. I'm seeing they're chucking them in water, like they get a big esky and they throw them in, or a big catch bag, whatever it is. They're getting massive things and they're throwing, say, 30 snapper in them and they just tip water in with them. Like, you got to remember, outside's 18 degrees on average now. Like, we've been told in 18 is, like, a lot, especially out in the water, up to 30. Now, that water in a bag, that'll be over, like, 18, 20 degrees. You're going to have your fridge.
It's going to heat up.
Are you going to have your fridge sit at that temp? You're not, are you? And that's going to destroy the flesh of the fish. And the charter boat guys, I think that is, I'm not picking all of them, because there's some fantastic ones that look after their fish. But those that don't, it actually annoys me a fair bit. So get some ice.
Particularly when, unless you're going to eat it that night, they just don't keep as well.
Oh, that's 100%. If you look after from get go, you can be able to cry back that meat, and it will stay literally brand new for 6 months, Pat. So you need to look after it. Get it on ice. The mad fish bags, great. You've got some good systems in your boat with your Dometics. You've got in your boat. So depending on what size boat you've got, if you need a catch bag or if you need a cool box, whatever it is, just make sure you do get it. The next question is from Wilson. Danger, I see you're back into training. I've heard all about this. I hope the barrel was part of your preseason training, but who looks the best as we approach 2022? Go Cats.
Well, it's certainly not Jeremy Cameron, because we see a lot of sort of posts from Jez about how he's going fishing. There's not a lot of catching that we see sort of on the outdoor athlete social media posts, Redmond. And you know, this isn't a competition. But if it was, it would be one that I would have won comfortably. So we've heard a lot from Jez, obviously coming from Sydney, and it's a beautiful fishery, quite clearly.
you know, perhaps too easy to catch fish. You know, you all of a sudden you need a little bit more skill when you come to Victoria. And Jez has found out the difficult way that you can't just roll out and catch 70-centimetre, you know, kingfish underneath Sydney Harbour. You've got to do a little bit more work. And Jez just hasn't, quite clearly, he hasn't put in the work. So he's not looking great in terms of his pre-season form. You know, someone's got to sit him down at some stage. I'm enjoying watching him, so I won't be the one doing that. On the track, he looks wonderful. But once again, it's not really the things that are important, are they? So, you know, it's one of those things. Redmond, he's 28 years of age. You would have thought that he spent a fair bit of time fishing, or so his socials show us, but there's not a lot there.
And, you know, like I like to respect myself as a reasonable fisherman in the area. You know, Jez hasn't even contacted me. I get the odd. We talk a little bit on social. Not even a message about a whiting. Not even a little hint. I think he came here thinking he was going to be the new Tin King, and he hasn't.
You are the self-anointed Tin King, aren't you? last question's from Mark. Hey, Red, how far out do you run your teasers for school tuna? This is a good one, Redmond, because as we start to see them infiltrate, sort of, we'll see them in Port Phillip Bay at different stages, but primarily they'll be offshore. Are you running teasers when you're chasing these fish? I know you don't love necessarily to target them, but when you do, what's your technique for it?
Yeah, the school tuna, those teasers are bloody ripper. They're unreal. Now, we were meant to get a guest on last year, but we missed out. His name's Kai from Bangers Teaser Bars. And we're going to get once these tuna get here, Pat, we'll hold it. We'll save this chat. But once he gets here, we'll get him on to take us through, I guess, the science behind the teaser bars of his specific teaser bars. They're Bangers Teaser Bars. And they're the ones that I've used. And they're just a local fella. He's around the corner here. And he does a tremendous job with his teaser bars. And they just work. So basically
– So what's the – go through what a teaser bar is and why it's relevant to chasing school tuna.
Yeah, so what it is, it creates disturbance. So it's basically imitating a bait school. So they're like the ones that I'm running, a little squid. They flap along the surface. I think it runs like maybe, say, on the middle one might be 5 squid, 6 squid long, and on the outside might be 4. And it's in a string, so it's like a literal daisy chain, like something a kid would hang in front of your bed when they're born. So it skips across the surface, and it just creates that much disturbance on the surface that it puts the fish into a frenzy and makes them go, oh, crap, what in the hell is going on there? Where if you've just got a single lure, a 3-4-inch lure on the back of a rod, that fish has to see that one little lure. It just has to see that. Where these are literally just smashing the surface, and then on that teaser bar, you actually have attached to your lure. So you fight the fish with the teaser bar attached to it. Now, we're going to talk more about these things over the whole summer. We've got a lot to do today, but we're going to get right into detail about it all. But basically, get yourself one if you don't have one and run your lure about 2 meters behind it, and you're going to catch, I'm going to say, up onwards of 200% more fish. Like, it'll more than double your catch rate. It'll be honestly more than that. So it'll seriously catch, especially when they're being pricks. When they're being pricked with fish, that's the times when your teaser bar pulls through. So it's not the times where you go out there where they're eating. Anyone can catch a tuna when they're eating. It's the time when Bob, John, and Sally are over next to you and they're not getting a fish, and Bob's mate John's up the road not getting a fish, and you have that teaser bar out and they don't, and you're going to end up with 2 fish where they don't end up with any. It will catch you more fish.
That wraps our social club. If you've got a question for Aaron or I, make sure you shoot it into our Real Adventures socials. Simply send us a direct message on our Instagram, Facebook, or better yet, download our Real Adventures app. Plenty more Real Adventures after the break.
Gearing up for Dometic. Everything you need for adventures, big or small. Mobile living made easy. Dometic.
Earlier in the week, I caught up with Barry Sullivan from Real Brand to talk all things inland fishing in Victoria. He's been smashing the Murray Cod, and we're going to get a bit of a report from what's happening on inland Victorian fishing.
Barry Sullivan joins me this morning to talk all things inland Victorian fishing. He's, of course, Real Brand, and Real Brand at the moment are having their 12 days of Christmas sale. Head to their website, realbrand.com.au, for 25% off the entire range. Good morning, Baz.
Good morning, Patrick. and we'll even upgrade standard freight to express post so they get their delivery before Christmas.
Beautiful work. Now, you've been hammering Murray Cod of late. Cod season is open. It's been open for a few weeks now. The reports around the region.
Well, it's actually, we had a fair bit of rain in the lead up to cod opening, and so actually some cooler weather. And what that did is made cod opening a little quieter than normal. But having said that, there's still bite periods where they seem to come on. And, you know, I know I went out on the Wednesday, which is the first, which is the day of cod opening, and caught nothing all the way in, up to about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then, bang, caught eight in about 2 hours. So, yeah, you just got to be persistent and, yeah, keep moving around till you can get onto them.
For most this time of the year, school holidays for families and those looking to head up to central Victoria and chase, whether it be Murray Cod, Yellow Belly, the odd carp, obviously, the best way is to target them for family-friendly fishing?
Yeah, and also reddies. You can add to that list as well. Reddies have been prolific in some of the local waterways. Look, there's plenty of ways to catch, especially if you're looking at targeting a cod. You can obviously use bait, and from there you can use anything from barty grubs, yabbies, shrimp, cheese, chicken, even hot dogs and dim sims if you want to go the full extent. And if you're looking at you know, catching cod on lures, then spinner baits, chatter baits, stump jumpers, orgies. But the most exciting way of all to catch a cod is using a surf lure, and the best time for that is early in the morning or on dusk. And in terms of yellow belly and redfin, look, Lake Hume has probably been the pick of them this year of all the waterways. There's, you know, lots of redfin about, but they school up, so you've just got to be able to find where the school is. And whether that's near, you know, a tree in about, you know, 5 to 8 metres of water, or whether you just troll. And when you're trolling, the best way to approach that is you have like a little hard body and also a little dropper with a little soft plastic on it. And you just troll along in those depths of water I just mentioned. And then all of a sudden you'll come across a school and you'll get a hit. And then if you go back over that same spot, you get another hit. Then that's when you, if you've got an electric or an anchor, just secure yourself in that spot. And then you use worms or soft plastics, and you normally can catch a bucketful.
For plenty of families, they'll spend their times at caravan parks, and you're balancing fishing around a lot of people with trying to find, you know, your own secret quiet spot. Does that play a big role when it comes to targeting these freshwater species? Are you trying to find, you know, patches of water that haven't been hammered by plenty of people?
That's exactly right, Patrick. Yeah, I think when, especially if you're looking at things like redfin, fish like redfin or yellowbelly, a lot of people initially were all targeting, you know, dead trees because that's where they congregate around a bit of structure. And then people were just hammering these spots like crazy. And eventually, obviously, they, you know, either all get caught or they start to disperse. But if you can find now a school that's out in the middle of nowhere where they just seem to be congregating for whatever reason, that's when you're going to have the most fun because, you know, they won't have been targeted. And there's quite often a number of bigger fish in those schools as well.
Throughout the sort of COVID interrupted last few years, there's obviously been, it's been near on impossible to travel right around the country. And it's been mostly state-based. That is starting to open up now. Do you expect it'll be a busy summer period through central Victoria?
Yeah, well, look, an indication of that was the first weekend after cod opening. They have the Cod Classic at Mulwala, and I think they had 1,400 boats enter the competition. So people were coming from everywhere, and, yeah, a lot of the waterways, especially in the northeast of Victoria where the weather's been, you know, quite reasonable, yeah, there's lots of people out camping, exploring, fishing. And I think a lot of people have invested their normal overseas money into caravans and boats, and they're keen to get out on the waterways and use them.
Well, there's no better time to do it, Baz, as we come into the Christmas period. There's obviously wonderful fishing to be had right throughout central Victoria. And once again, Barry Sullivan for Real Brand, 12 days of Christmas. Their sale is on now, 25% off the entire range. Baz, thanks for your time this morning on Real Adventures.
No worries, mate. It's been a pleasure.
That was Gearing Up for Dometic Mobile Living Made Easier.
Red's review for Club Marine, Australia's leading provider of boat insurance.
At Redmond, our Reds review as we head into the Christmas period, we're focusing on a little bit of diving. You love this quite clearly, but for kids that are looking to get into it and parents that are looking to purchase their kids something for Christmas and the options that are available.
I don't reckon you nailed that intro on the head then, Pat. I reckon the adults love it more than the kids, to tell the honest truth, because we're going to review a snorkel set, and Anaconda, just the reason I go to Anaconda is just a family-friendly place. I love the store. You love the store. And $40, you can get yourself a crappy, when I say crappy, something that's going to do the job. You don't need to go out and spend what I spend on dive gear. You can literally get yourself a cheap snorkel set for $40 that is literally going to do the job. Now,
can I interject here, Redmond? We are all guilty of this, right? Of getting Christmas presents for our wives, for our partners, for our children, that we actually want ourselves.
Well, the new Stellar under the tree was the.
Now,
you're spot on. Absolutely spot on.
This is a good test. I'm almost tempted to say what I'm getting my wife for Christmas.
She doesn't listen to us, Pat. She doesn't listen to you on a normal day. She wouldn't listen to you on a radio station.
That is a great point. All right, so I've got her a mini mel this year because she's been talking about wanting to get the kids more into surfing, so she wants to get more into it herself. We've got a longer sort of 9-foot mel. She wants something a bit shorter. So I've got her a 7'6" mini mel, but it's also something that I'm really looking forward to using because I know she talks about wanting something when she's only really going to use it maybe 2 or 3 times next year, and the rest of the time it'll be for me.
So I like where you're going with this. So Kari and I were going down the active way too, and we're like, oh, we'll get like bikes together or surfboards together because mm-hmm. we'll fit into it.
Yep.
We've decided it's safe to get a defibrillator at the house. We think that's suitable for both of us because I might need it and she's going to have to use it. So.
But are you ever guilty of purchasing things? I'm telling you right now, my wife certainly is guilty of this, buying something that she's going to use, but she labels it for me.
I'm trying to think of an example. I don't do any shopping, so I think I'm just in trouble anyway.
Like, I know I'm getting a wireless robot vacuum. Well, that's a communal gift. Like, that's not just something that you give your partner. Like, here's a wireless vacuum that is going to mop our house.
You can't even use it because, like, it uses itself.
So I'm thinking I'm going to get Mards a 3-weight, 7'6" Sage fly rod. She's going to love this thing. Like, and it's going to suit her every time that she goes and fishes to the Otways for the small brown trout. Like, she's not going to know herself with the weight distribution of this rod and its casting ability, your ability just to get the bow and arrow cast out. Like, she's going to love it.
So we've basically transferred this review into how you and I are screwed for Christmas.
Well, not screwed, but maybe out of a potentially divorced post-Christmas. But I think this is something that everyone is guilty of, Aaron.
It is, and I'm going back to what I'm saying. Get yourself as kids a set of snorkel gear before you get grounded. Because
I'm cutting back in, you know why? Because you would have just – I know that you did this right when you were justifying to Kari buying a new boat. If I'm going to take Finn out, I want him in something that's safe. That's the biggest load of crap I've ever heard. The only reason that you're doing it is because you wanted a new boat.
I can't argue. I've got absolutely nothing. I've got, other than the fact that you're right. I don't like that.
Finn
definitely prefers the ride of a fiberglass boat.
I think it's safer that he uses a 2,500 Stellar on the whiting than a cheap reel, because don't want to hurt his rig. Yeah. Could see.
Absolutely.
So I think it's safe we do that this year.
I've really destroyed your review, haven't I? Sorry. What are your focus points on?
Get yourself a snorkel kit for your kids and yourself, because it's such wonderful around this whole country. We have some of the best beaches in the world, and our biodiversity and our fishing right around the whole country is amazing. But you just got to be smart where you take your kids. Don't go off Ocean Grove Main Beach because there's sharks here at the moment. But
you've gone there early.
Don't go to a surf beach and just throw it, like go in waves and stuff. The kids aren't going to like it. You can't see. Go to a place where there's, like, for example, in the bay, Port Phillip Bay, go St. Leonard's Pier or somewhere away from, like, when I say St. Leonard's Pier, there's not many boats.
You want protection.
You want protection. And structure. You want something to hold fish. The reason they've got the goggles on is to look at the bloody fish. So go somewhere where they're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it, and you're going to have fun. So it's just about where you go. Like I said, you see people at Ocean Grove Main Beach, the surf beaches, 20,000 people there on a Saturday and 30-degree day in summer, and you see all these kids with snorkels kicking around in their waist-deep water, and all I can see is sand. Like, they can't even see sand. It's just disturbance from the water. So it just, if you want them to get into it and have a bit of fun, get somewhere with a bit of structure and a bit of life, and you, seriously, I don't think it's much better fun than going for a snorkel.
Couldn't have said it any better, Redmond. If you're looking for a snorkel, as you said, we looked at Anaconda, but right around the country, whether it's your Tackle Words, BCS, they're all stocking them, all competitively priced. And if it's something that your wife has no interest in, then it's probably a good gift for her as well. Plenty more real adventures after the break.
That was Red's review for Club Marine. Insure your boat or jet ski with Club Marine, Australia's leading provider of boat insurance. Check the PDS to see if this insurance is right for you.
You're listening to Real Adventures with Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Hadgood.
Welcome back to Real Adventures. It's time for Red's tip as we enter the final leg, Redmond. What do you have for us for the weekend?
You weren't really happy with my work this morning, I don't think, because I was really excited to talk about this early in the week. Now I've only got 40 seconds and I've used 20 of it.
I reckon you've been a bit self-indulgent. You spoke too much about yourself off the intro.
I'm trying to say lots.
We get it. You know, you've used one of your lives.
Get a jammo.
Get a jammo. The must-haves for a skipper on a boat, Redmond.
I've lost me 20 seconds. Yeah, Red's tip this week. If you own a boat, which a lot of people do these days who are out there fishing, and a lot of people also don't own boats. So I think the number one tip as a skipper of a boat, and number one, an unwritten rule, number one, you must have water on a boat. I always have 24-pack of slab on the boat, and I every third or fourth time I go to the
draft, or are you talking H2O?
I would love to – the things I would do for a Carlton draft right now, you've got no idea. But it's nearly death worthy. It's but seriously, a slab of water on the boat, sunscreen, unwritten rule. You don't expect your mate to bring sunscreen. It lives in the boat.
I agree with that.
I think snacks. I reckon snacks.
That's on the skipper.
That's the question. I always have chips in the cabin because you always underestimate your food on the boat. You always do.
Yeah, you do.
I've always got packets of chips, and chips save your backside. And the big one, the WD-40. I think that is a must. And WD-40 and cable ties are about as important on a boat as a pie warmer.
I'm going to add to that grey tape.
See, I told you this would have been a good segment earlier.
WD-40, cable ties and grey tape. You can do anything. If the boat can explode and you can turn, nah, we'll be okay.
Got duct tape.
We're going to survive. Yeah, don't mind that. I reckon that's not a bad tip.
It's time for the flying gaff, Patrick, and you're very excited for this one. I won't lie to you. I was worried when I seen this footage during the week. I thought you may have been in Perth driving, but then I realised that no one is allowed in Perth, so you were safe. It wasn't you. Let's go.
Oh, Western Australia. I'll tell you what, there's been a few incidents in Western Australia over the past month. We've seen a beautiful Riv 55 hit a reef off Rottnest Island and sink. That was an expensive exercise, as was this, the Mindari Marine boat. It was extraordinary. The skipper clearly is driving a plate center console, probably close to 7.5 meters. It's a big boat. Slips on the throttle and then narrowly misses someone standing in the back of a VW Amarok as he launches across two other boats or two other cars launching boats, and he ends up on the other side of the pylon. Oh, it's as good a boat ramp incident video as I've seen, and thankfully no one was hurt. But seriously, boat ramps, there is a show waiting to be had, a reality show that just showcases the idiocy that happens at the ramp.
Social media and you're on Instagram, do yourself a favor and follow a page called The Qualified Captain.
Yes.
It's literally that all around the world. It's unbelievable. And I tell you what, I don't worry about fishing on a Saturday in summer. Go down with your deck chair down to your local river in the afternoon, because you'll have the day of your life. You feel like you're at the movies, just even better. So actually, we shouldn't be saying that, because people are learning. But it's funny as hell, so just get down there.
If you're not going fishing, head to your local boat ramp, pull up a chair and have a look. We hope you've enjoyed the show. This has been Real Adventures. We'll see you next week.